Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
This is Mary Carillo.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
I'm back. We're back. The Fed Cup final is over. Fed Cup final, which was full of emotion, inevitably, in Australia, and ended with Australia still not having won the thing, with 45 years having gone by. Catherine, Matt, myself, David Law, we're sitting courtside next to the centre court at the O2 Arena at the moment, ahead of the evening session on day one of the ATP Finals. But we are solely focused in this podcast, because it's a two-podcast day, on the Fed Cup. And where to start? Matt, I think first of all we need to start with you and have you explain to us how Australia didn't win and how Ash Barty didn't end up winning everything, because you said it would happen.
Yeah, yesterday's podcast predictions have not aged well. So if you happen to miss that one, there's no need to go back and listen. It was everything that yesterday wasn't, because yesterday was over in 3 hours and I was back asleep, and this time there was no opportunity to go back to sleep because it went on for ages. Three close matches, one in particular with Kiki Mladenovic taking down Ash Barty, who I thought would be the kind of MVP of the day, and it turned out to be Kiki Mladenovic.
And she was the MVP of the whole tie. If you haven't followed the results today, it was one all overnight. Mladenovic has then come out, lost the first set 6-2 against Ash Barty, then won the next two and taken out Ash Barty. I mean, it was a quite stunning performance. Then we had Tom Ljanovic, who levelled matters at 2-2. She sort of had her moment of redemption. And then it was won in the doubles by Garcia and Mladenovic, beating Barty and Sam Stosur. Mladenovic, explain Kiki Mladenovic to me. This is a player who I think once had about a 9-match losing streak, Catherine. And yet, in this tie, and we've seen it at other points in her career, in this tie, she was the best player in the world on that particular day.
Well, you explained it to me better than any other analysis I've heard, which is she's a short-term goals person. She's not a long-term, season-long, I'm going to be the very best that I can be always, every match, every moment. She's a, this week I've got something very specific to aim for, this match, this tournament, this whatever. Is that how you put it?
I'm quite proud of myself.
It was pithier than that,
David's
wasn't it?
David's chuffed at
it
the moment.
It was pithier than that, wasn't it? I've just butchered your words.
That'll do for me.
Yeah, she's a short-term goals gal.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's an easy event to get up for, isn't it? The Fed Cup final. But I probably overlook the kind of outside influences that you see at the Fed Cup. You don't get normal results always at this tournament. It's so easy to think about it just in terms of forehands and backhands, and Ash Barty has been the best in the world at that all year. But there was something else behind Mladenovic this weekend, and it was like she was possessed by the thing.
I mean, many other factors at play too, but I do think the situation with Sasha Bajin, the disintegration of their coaching relationship, precipitated by all accounts by Bajin, I think that has fueled her. I think there's a defiance in her about that to prove something to him.
I think she's a defiant kind of person. She needs a reason beyond just the long-term ranking or whatever, which just rolls over and you get a win and you move up a bit. I mean, I could imagine her having one amazing sort of slam result or something like that still in the future, but you just put this little isolated event together like this and put it on away territory where everybody's expecting a certain result. She is somebody who likes aggro, I think, Kikin Mladenovic. Hence why she ended up having her big fallout with Caroline Garcia. I don't think she shies away from that sort of thing. She was not afraid to call out Sasha Bain in when they parted ways. He's broken up with me, everybody. Just so you all know, we had great results and I wanted to stay together and he didn't want to. So, you know, and there was a clear right then. You know, I'm going to show everybody, I'll show him. And I'm quite sure when she went out there in front of that record crowd today, with everybody waiting to just sort of welcome Ash Barty into the umpteenth winner's circle of the year in front of her own fans, you know, I imagine that Mladenovic, a bit Andy Murray-like, probably thought, right then, I'm ruining this party.
And all the more impressive then that she did, because Ash Barty won the first three games. She'd won 15 games in a row in this Fed Cup tie, Ash Barty, the 6-love, 6-love, and then 3-love here. And I was thinking, God, it's going to be another whitewash. But Kikin Mladenovic, she managed to find a solution to Ash Barty's game that Caroline Garcia never found. And that is kind of a surprise to me, because I've always thought Caroline Garcia arguably had a few more weapons, a few more tools than Mladenovic. But Mladenovic was able to establish a pattern of play by attacking Barty's second serve, crunching forehands and rushing Ash Barty. And suddenly, even though she lost that first set 6-2, I felt like it was quite close. I thought, she's causing problems here, Mladenovic. Barty's not liking it. And then Mladenovic saved a break point, I think, at 4-3 in the second set. And then went on a string of winning games and eventually went up a break in the third. And I just thought, she's going to do this. And that was the first time all week, all weekend, all year, really, where I thought, if Ash Barty plays her best, she might not win. Because Mladenovic's best tennis at the moment is better.
And this was with Barty still bringing it. She was doing roundhouse fist pumps, Leighton Hewitt style. I mean, it was really something to watch. I've never seen her like that
She's
before.
One of the least scary people on the planet, Ash Barty. And I was terrified of her 10,000 miles away on my laptop watching. She was, you know, uppercut fist pumps after winning points, winning games, because that's how much effort she had to put in to live with.
I was hiding behind my grab-and-go breakfast that I'd had from the hotel cafe that I'd sneaked out and ran off back to. It was actually said on the packet, grab-and-go, so that's what I did.
What time in the morning was all this transpiring?
It started around 3 a.m.
Yeah.
And the sort of climax of that match was 5:30, 6. Yeah, I mean, something like that. David messaged me saying, "I'm up."
I set no alarm, but I woke up at 5 a.m. and I was
no
so
way to live.
I was so pumped when it was one set all, and Catherine eventually came online about 3 hours later.
Yeah, crikey, a lot's happened.
But
I swanned in for the doubles. It was great.
You did. You got the glory at the end. It was interesting, though, to watch how, I mean, I thought Barty played well.
Yeah.
And she put a brave face on it, didn't she, at the end of that match, and she applauded the crowd. She'd obviously, you know, taken a huge amount of the environment, the experience. And at that point, she'd still got at least the doubles to come. And if as long as Tom Ljanovic managed to get them back level, that was the situation, wasn't it? Because it was 2-1. Tom Ljanovic did very well against a player who I was not expecting to see wielding a racket today, Pauline Parmentier.
Yeah, I think we both did a double take looking at our screens when that came up, that she had come in. And at the time, I thought that they were handing back the initiative a little bit to Australia. I thought, if you've got Australia down, keep them down by playing your next best player, who is Caroline Garcia. However, the way it's turned out, it looks like an absolute masterstroke from Julien Beneteau, because it was kind of a free hit for Pauline Parmentier, and Caroline Garcia was then fresh for the doubles, and she was able to go back into that environment where she'd had that humiliating love and love defeat, but with a partner.
So you think it was more about keeping Garcia fresh,
yeah,
mentally as much as anything for the doubles than it was about
trying to win the tie in that fourth?
You performed abysmally. You're not up to playing another singles match.
I think that the strategy was, we can win this doubles. Mm. And yeah, we'll put Parmentier, who won an important tie against Romania, I think it was, in Rouen early on in the year. So she's had a good result in Fed Cup this year, so she might have pulled it out of the bag. And it was a close match. She had her chances. But really, I think that was a decision with more of an eye on the doubles.
And actually, the... A couple of people were saying that maybe Parmentier's style might help her against Tomljanovic. I also think that they perhaps thought, well, if Parmentier just keeps the ball going, given the way Tomljanovic played the day before, she may just miss enough. Yeah. And I thought that was a distinct possibility.
I mean, when you said that the Aussie team have said they've got no regrets, I mean, how could they have regrets? Because the only sort of decision that had to be made ahead of today was whether to sub out Tomljanovic, right? Mm. And that was absolutely the right decision. Tomljanovic won her rubber.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think Barty and Stosa playing together is a no-brainer. Barty's obviously a no-brainer. So, decisions-wise, performances-wise, nobody underperformed or failed to validate any decisions made.
No.
They were just beaten fair and square.
It's interesting that when you got into that doubles, Stosa, I mean, you could tell she had no tennis at that point, because suddenly you're there at the net, these balls are flashing by, and she had really no timing at all out there, whereas all the others had played, and they were clearly better than her on the day. The Mladenovic-Garcia tandem is just fascinating, isn't it, given what they went through 3 years ago, and they were obviously a great team and they'd fallen out, and it was a fascinating comeback.
It's the best redemptive narrative in tennis since last week.
Which one's last week?
Hebert Mo.
Oh, yeah.
It's also all the Frenchies.
Which is also the best one since Andy Murray came back.
No, that's not redemption.
What's that then?
That's resurfacing.
That's true. Apparently, yeah. Oh,
very well said, Matt. We should say that the Andy Murray documentary, Andy Murray Resurfacing, is out on the 29th of November on Amazon Prime. That's going to be very interesting to watch. The behind the scenes from inside his world as he tried to recover. Anyway, this Fed Cup victory for France is a big deal for them. And that was very clear straight afterwards. We can hear from them. There is Kristina Mladenovic, there's Caroline Garcia, there's Julien Beneteau.
Caroline, Kristina, France Fed Cup champions for the third time, for the first time in 16 years. Congratulations.
Thank you.
What's the overwhelming emotion at the moment? Is it relief?
I'm not sure. I have completely realized, because it's been a crazy weekend for everyone. And, this double went very fast, but we play every point so focused, and we play a great match, and it was very tense. And I think with the scenario of this year, it could only be at the double decisive. So, of course, it's a lot of stress, but I think we managed it very well, and we both played very well.
Kristina, we saw how emotional you were after the singles victory today, and here you are winning in the doubles 3 years ago in the final against the Czech Republic. You were both there in the doubles. It was the decider and fell short. Does it make it even more special to know you've gone that one step further 3 years on?
Definitely. You know, it's lots of emotion to share this with Caro after, you know, like you said, 3 years ago we failed on the last step of the tie, and today we just wanted to take this little revenge for ourselves, and it's just not describable how we feel right now.
What about your captain, Julien Beneteau? First year in the job, he goes okay, doesn't he?
He's a pretty lucky dude, I think.
Come on over, captain. Where's the skipper? There he is, celebrating with the team. Julien Beneteau, ladies and gentlemen.
Julian, congratulations. As a player, you reached the Davis Cup final. And here you are as the skipper of the Fed Cup winning team with the French. How does this feel for you?
I'm the proudest man on the planet right now. I'm so proud of my girls, of my team. They deserve it because they fought for a long time for this title. And we have an unbelievable staff and crowd supporters like this. It's a dream for me. I tried to imagine that at the beginning of the year when I knew that I could have the best team with me on the court. And now, like 8 months later, here we are.
They look like they're ready to go off and party. I imagine you are as well. You enjoy it.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to have a lot of beers.
So there's the French team. Julien Beneteau's out on the lash right as we speak. and he's going to be going out all night long. After that, the Australian team went into a press conference. You can understand was probably a rather more sombre atmosphere. We can hear from Ash Barty, but first Alicia Molik on whether she had any regrets.
Gosh, I don't regret any step of the way. And we've fought so hard. We've had to come together for such a long period of time now, be such a close-knit team, face so much adversity. We've done it for the last few years, in particular this year, Asheville, Brisbane. You know, I feel like we were up against it for so much of the time. You know, even today, we're up against it. We fought our way back, got ourselves into the position we wanted to be in, quite frankly, with the last doubles or the last rubber resting on the doubles. But, you know, credit to France, and gee whiz, Kiki Mladenovic showed her true colours today, because I think she carried all of the French team on her shoulders. It was an unbelievable display. She sort of took it out of her hands, I felt. It's pretty amazing that this group of players get to feel what it's like to be in the final. So now that we've been there, we've done that, the next step for us is, I think, to, you know, take the moments in if we receive that opportunity, you know, in Budapest going forward. And the last couple of years, we've expected to always be a team which is in the finals. And, you know, next year, I think, because of our level, you know, we'll expect to be in another Fed Cup final. I think we'll be stronger, more resilient and more prepared once more, because we've lived this moment. And kind of, I think, what we'll do is use this moment for fuel, really, you know, to drive us into the future. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, obviously, it's bitterly disappointing to be sitting here, not with the result that we're after, but all in all, it's about taking a little bit of perspective. And this team, this group of girls, I wouldn't want to be sitting here with anyone else. It's been an amazing journey, amazing time of the year for us, and to be able to be in a Fed Cup final is something that is very precious. We'll cherish it, and it will drive us more for next year.
So no regrets, they're looking forwards, but you can hear in their voice just how hard this is for the Australia team. I mean, I found it very interesting how Barty, despite all she's won, really, this particular ties and this run, this Fed Cup glory that she was after was almost bigger than everything else that she was trying to achieve, and she's going to have to stomach not having achieved it.
Yeah, she plans her year around Fed Cup. This is the event she circled at the start of the year on the calendar and said, I want to peak for those weeks, hopefully finishing in November in the final. She got home tie in the final, which is, you know, kind of luck of the draw that would happen. It was perfect, really. And something Stosur said in the press conference was that there's not been a day really since April where this moment, this day, hasn't been in my mind. I've been thinking about it, and I'm sure Barty was the same. But I really liked what Molik in particular was saying about how they're going to use this as fuel in a way for next year, trying to target winning it in Hungary. And it reminded me, I think I might have read this in Sir Alex Ferguson's autobiography, perhaps, when, I know you weren't expecting that, were you? After Man United lost the Premier League on goal difference to Man City with that last minute goal.
Ouch.
I think what I remember was him getting the team back on the bus and saying, remember how you're feeling right now, because this will get us through next season. This, how you're feeling now, you need to remember in December next season when we're going for the league again, and you don't want to be feeling like this again. And I can imagine he would have said that in a very
Solskjaer's
different...
Solskjaer's probably saying that every week.
No, I reckon he's not.
Right, yeah.
But I think that's, you know, I just thought that was, you know, Sir Alex Ferguson's known for his leadership and picking the right things to say at the right time. And Molik was taking the same approach, albeit saying it in a slightly different way, probably. But I thought that was, that, I don't know, I just noticed that.
And Sam Stosur was inevitably asked about whether she had any retirement plans, and she was very quick to explain that she didn't. I mean, obviously, retirement can't be that far on the horizon. She's not denying that it's, you know, in her thoughts at some point in the medium term, but I think she very much intends to be a part of the Fed Cup team that makes a charge in Budapest next year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what does happen with that. Oh, they've just knocked the music on, so in here in the O2.
This is nothing.
Okay, yeah, it gets loud, folks.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Catherine, I think you'd knocked your stream off when Ash Barty and Sam Stosur were leaving the stadium in floods of tears, and I was struggling with it a little bit, and I was thinking, I hope Catherine's not watching this.
I had to turn it off.
Did you really?
It was too much.
Oh God.
Yeah. I mean, the reason I say that, folks, is because Catherine's got a big day today. You know, we can afford to faff around in the middle of the night watching Fed Cup finals on laptops with our breakfast in front of us. Catherine had to present TV.
I did watch the doubles while I was rehearsing.
Right.
Okay. And prepping.
Pretty emotional
but
stuff.
I,
though,
yeah,
you get
I switched
things
off. I saw Mladenovic Garcia collapse. I saw them hug, and I thought, this was great.
Yeah.
I've seen my lovely French doubles redemption moment. I'm getting used to having one of those a week.
Yes.
I'm going to miss it next week. And I switched off, thinking I'd seen all the emotional drama and turmoil that there was to be had for the day.
Very similar situation to 2001 when in the Davis Cup Australia hosted France with Leighton Hewitt as the world number one at the time and overwhelming favourites to win, and Nicolas Escudé came out of nowhere and beat everybody, including Wayne Arthurs, a tearful Wayne Arthurs in the final rubber, which was and it was on grass. It was a hard watch, I have to say, from an Australian home point of view. They were so desperate to win the Davis Cup. But, you know, these stories, they are amazing, aren't they? The way they produce these unlikely winners at times and heroes. And
Eugenie Mathieu.
Oh, yeah.
That was in Paris, wasn't it?
That's right.
That was at Bercy.
Yeah.
2002.
Wow.
And it was, there was that classic Fed Cup moment today. We were watching that Tomjanovic Parmentier match, and we were saying, because of Fed Cup, because of what's on the line, I'm invested in this match a lot more than I would be necessarily if that was just a kind of regular tour match. It really makes you care, even though we're not from Australia or France. Didn't really mind who wins. You just, it makes you feel, it makes you care because they so clearly care so much about it.
Yeah, you get
and
wrapped
the fans
up.
In the stadium.
The players there and Molik mentioning Budapest. This has been an incredible experience the last couple of days, and it is a reminder of what will be lost in terms of the home and away element of this tournament. We've talked about it in terms of the Davis Cup. We now have it with Fed Cup, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, does anyone, even supporters of the Fed Cup reforms, any good to deny that we're losing something? Of course we're losing something. It's compromise, isn't it? I think that probably contributed to those tears that I'm very glad I haven't seen from Barty and Stoza, because yes, they will have further opportunities to win the Fed Cup, no doubt, but they will never have an opportunity again to do it like that, in a classic home final in front of 13,000 home fans, the biggest crowd there's ever been for a women's tennis event in Australia. That was a one-time only opportunity, and it's gone. And it's tough to come to terms with.
Mind you, having seen just how many people travelled from France to, or I mean, maybe they were expats, but a French crowd, there were a good number in there, weren't there, in Australia, creating a heck of a good atmosphere.
Do you think they'd travelled, or do you think it was sort of a French community in Perth?
Could easily be, but it was great to see, and it, you know, hopefully there will be a good atmosphere and a good number of travelling crowd support members in Hungary.
It's a great city, Budapest.
Yeah, so we'll see. The other thing that, you know, I think what will be in the favour of these year-end finals types is it will be easier to be covered by TV channels, I would have thought. I mean, we've seen that Eurosport have signed up in the UK, for example, to cover the Davis Cup finals, and there was no TV coverage of this incredible Fed Cup tie. We were streaming it. It was a good quality stream on the Fed Cup website, but you know, you had to really go looking for it. You had to subscribe. You had to pay for it, and you know, it deserved a TV audience, that particular tie, didn't it?
Yeah, here. Yeah, it really did.
Absolutely.
Frankly, if it's not on TV, it's not going to pull in anyone other than people who are tennis fans already. And you know, the amazing thing about events like this is that they could appeal to your kind of casual tennis fans, because the spectacle is so good at a Fed Cup final. It's tennis as you don't always see it. It feels like a better product than what you get on the tour, with everyone invested, crowds going mad, players really caring. It's colourful, it's vibrant, it's a great experience.
Yeah, it was a great experience. So Matt, you can get back on normal sleep patterns now.
I can, yes.
You're going to experience a weird form of jet lag.
Kind of already got that. Yeah, I've not been on any kind of plane at all, and yet I'm feeling a little strange, yes. But Airbnb update, no weird encounters in the middle of the night. So that was an improvement.
That's a bit of a shame. well, we're going to be back with our second tennis podcast of the day a little bit later. I say it before Catherine's gone and presented another 5 hours of TV.
So I've lost all concept of time. It's like being in Vegas. There are no clocks anywhere. No daylight.
What time is it at the moment?
I don't know.
Don't ask me. I've been up since 3
they're
in the morning.
They're playing some sort of rock and roll music. Everything's weird.
Yeah, lights are on inside the O2 Arena. Who have we got practicing in front of us at the moment? We've got Marcelo
Mello. Yeah, that's it. And some old bloke.
Sorry, old bloke, if you're listening later on. Yes, we're talking about you. And
Dominic Thiem's just arriving.
Oh, yes, there he is.
Do we think he was up in the middle of the night watching Nedenovic?
I think he was. Yeah.
Well, potential spoiler for our later podcast. If you're desperately waiting to find out how Berrettini got on, he may have been out watching.
If Berrettini fans are desperately waiting to find out how Berrettini got along, I'm going to put you out of your misery now, folks. It was not pretty.
No. So there's your little teaser.
He was up in the middle of the night. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Okay.
We'll go through his unpretty performance in the post O2 day one tennis podcast, brought to you in association with the Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com. With our mascot Rio with a Y. We'll be back later. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com. Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's UnitedHealthcare insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, UnitedHealthcare insurance plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about UnitedHealthcare insurance plans at uh1.com.